Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading will be from Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Do not worry. Therefore, I will tell you, do not worry about your life, and you will eat or what you will drink or what about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body than the clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which, by all your worrying, can you add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you not worry about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They are neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like the ones of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But first seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings worries of its own. Tomorrow's troubles is enough for today. Now from James 4:13 through 17, boasting about tomorrow. Come now, and who say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow brings. What is your life? For you are in the midst that appears for a little and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do. This is the word of God.
Please pray with me in your hearts. Lord our God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the ability and the opportunity to be in your presence here at Community Church. We lift up those who are here before you. We pray for those who are not with us, maybe for those who are online. And we pray that your Spirit will open our hearts to receive your message for us. But not just for us to listen to it or hear it, but actually to be able to do it. May you bless us with your word, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So January 4, 2026. So again, you know, Happy New Year. I mean, it's kind of like almost crazy to think it's 2026. So when we were at the beginning of a new year, we can't help but wonder, you know, what's it going to be like, right? What kind of a year can we look forward to? And people make all kinds of predictions about what's going to happen in the next 365 days, but you don't know, and I don't know what's really going to happen. What I do know, though, is that a lot of people are worried. A lot of people are anxious, and maybe you're one of them. I did a search on what people are anxious about, you know, for the year 2026. So see if you can identify with some of these, okay? There's economic and financial anxiety. Many people are experiencing an affordability crisis, and they're worried about the rising cost of healthcare. Some people worry about the cost of living, you know, with many feeling that wages are not keeping pace with the price of essentials like groceries and housing. According to some financial analysts, there's a roughly 35% probability of a U.S. and global recession in 2026. Then there's anxiety about technology and artificial intelligence. 2026 is predicted to be the year of the agent, where AI moves from simple chat interfaces to autonomous systems that can plan and act with minimal human oversight. There's growing fear over AI-driven malware and sophisticated deep fake campaigns that could be used for identity theft or fraud or manipulating public trust. There are also questions about geographical and social stability. Political tension is expected to peak during the 2026 midterm elections. There are many global conflicts. Concerns persist regarding the ongoing war in Ukraine and the stability of ceasefires in the Middle East. There are also fears of gray zone provocations in the South China Sea. Now we have the situation in Venezuela. And I can go on and on, but I mean, if you're already worried, I don't want to make you even more anxious or depressed about the future. And of course, there are always personal worries and concerns, right? Maybe you're worried about your health, or maybe you're worried about your family, or maybe a relationship with a child, or your job for this new year. So let me shift the focus on how I think God wants us to relate to the new year. I mean, does the Bible have anything to say about how to approach the future? Does Jesus have any helpful words for us on how to deal with tomorrow? And I believe so. The Bible refers to a few common approaches or responses to the future that we really need to avoid. And by the way, these are not difficult to understand, okay? And you probably know all of these. The problem is applying them to your life. The difficulty is actually doing them. So let's see what the Bible has to say, or what Jesus has to say about the future. And the first common response to the future we need to avoid is useless worrying about the future. Jesus frequently pointed out the futility of worry. And he talked about it a lot. And he said, all it does is it makes you miserable. To worry about the future doesn't help. It doesn't change anything. Because you see, worry cannot change your past. Worry cannot control the future. Worry cannot solve your problems right now. All it does is it makes you miserable. Worry has never solved a problem. Worry has never caused something to not happen or something to happen. So needless worries are futile. And Jesus said it like this: which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your span of life? Says, can worry make your life longer? No, you cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. So it's a waste of emotional energy. And don't do it because it doesn't make any difference. And then Jesus says this: don't worry and ask yourselves, will we have anything to eat or will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear? Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows you need all of these, but more than anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. And then the other things will be yours as well. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will fall into place as well. And what we should want more than anything else is doing what God wants, to trust Him more than all else. So we need to stop useless worrying and instead be concerned about something that's far more important, and that is the eternal kingdom of God. And finally, Jesus says, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Why does he say that? Why does Jesus say, live one day at a time? Because fortunately, God has given us the future in bite-sized increments, in 24-hour periods. The year 2026 will come to you one day at a time, just like 2025 did. And I tell you, if you had to face the entire future all at once, it would be overwhelming. You would get stressed out. I mean, it would blow your mind to know all the things that are going to happen to you during your entire lifetime. So fortunately, God keeps it a secret, and you only have to face one day at a time. And Jesus says, so don't worry about tomorrow. You have enough to worry about today. You can only deal with what is in front of you. We just celebrated Christmas and the birth of the Savior. And remember, Jesus came to us in the form of a human to make things right between God and us. And part of his message to us was the wise way to face the future is not useless worrying. The wise way is to trust God. Trust God and make each day count. Live one day at a time. It's like the old cliche, life by the yard is hard, by the inch it's a cinch. And when it comes to worrying, just take one day at a time. Trust God. Make each day count. Useless worrying about the future is not the way to go. And the second approach to the future that we should avoid is arrogant assuming. And this is the exact opposite approach to worrying. People who excessively worry go off the deep end negatively. The arrogant assumers go off the positive end arrogantly. These are the people, you know, who say, nothing's ever going to go wrong. I mean, everything's always going to be great. We'll never have any problems. Everything's going to be fine and dandy. Don't worry, be happy. Great song. Lousy theology. Because you need more than just somebody saying, cheer up and think good thoughts and it'll happen. I've thought a lot of good thoughts and they didn't always happen. I'm sure that's true in your life too. I mean, you know the phrase, you are what you think? If that were true, when I was a teenager, I'd been a girl. Okay? Because that's what I thought about most as a teenager. Right? I understand the principle, okay, but that's not what it's saying. The fact is, the negative person who worries all the time and the positive, arrogant assumer are both just guessing. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. Nobody. So you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and much less next week or next month or next year. Isaiah 56 talks about some of these arrogant assumers. They say, you know, come, let's drink some wine, let's drink all the beer we want, and tomorrow we will do this again. Or maybe we will even have a better time. So they're saying it's Michelob time, or it's Miller time. Let's get the party, let's get it going, because nothing's going to change, everything's great, everything's wonderful, just eat, drink, be merry, party like there's no tomorrow, And as a result, they do no preparation for the future. They totally consumed with today, where they don't ever think about the future. They just assume everything's going to be great. They don't need to prepare. They don't need to grow. They don't need to develop. And so they don't take any precautions. They go to the other extreme of the useless warrior. The Bible tells us that, you know, there are two very significant reasons why you should never presume upon the future. First, you don't know what it's going to be. James says, what do you know about tomorrow? How can you be so sure about your life? It is nothing more than mist that appears for only a little while before it disappears. You should say, if the Lord lets us live, we will do these things. Yet you are stupid enough to brag, and it's wrong to be so proud. So you should never presume to know the future, because one, life is unpredictable, and two, life is brief. We're nothing but a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. And so the message here is life is short. Why are you worried about next year? You don't even know if you've got tomorrow. And the truth is, everybody in this room is one heartbeat away from eternity. So don't assume about tomorrow. I'll get it done tomorrow. Whatever you're going to do, you know, with your life, get on with it, okay? Don't wait. Don't waste time. Get on with it now. Anything could happen. And so when I talk or when I write about the future, I prefer to add the words, God willing, Dio volente, God willing. I don't want to make arrogant assumptions about my future. Do you know what makes the future even more complicated? The fact that change is happening more rapidly than ever before. You know, successful corporations used to do strategic planning. But strategic planning only works in a stable environment when you can predict when, you know, what things are going to be or where things are going to be. But nobody can predict with a lot of certainty anymore. So strategic planning has been replaced by scenario planning. Scenario planning says, well, if this happens, we'll do this. If that happens, we'll do that. And a company might have 5, 6, or 10 scenarios. 9 of them end up being wrong and 1 right, but they prepare for all of them. Why? Because you can't predict what's going to happen. And so Proverbs in the Bible says, a prudent person perceives the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. The Bible tells us very plainly, instead of useless worrying, you ought to trust God. And instead of arrogant assuming, you ought to prepare. You ought to look ahead and prepare. The wise see danger ahead and avoids it. Fools just keep going and get into trouble. Now, you can't see way into the distance, but you look as far ahead as you can. And you may have several scenarios with your family or with your personal life or with your career path. You ought to have several scenarios to look at, so look ahead and prepare. So as we stand at the beginning of a new year, how will we approach it? When it comes to the future and you, Jesus says it's unwise to needlessly worry about it. Put your trust in God. Because needless worry never changes anything, and it's a waste of time and energy. And it's just as unwise to arrogantly assume that everything will always be okay. So look ahead, be prepared, and add the words, God willing, when you talk about your future. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beginning of a new year. I think we all know we should not unnecessarily worry about things that might or might not happen, and yet we do it all the time. May your Spirit give us peace and the ability to trust you, to trust your love for us, to trust your provision for us, to trust that you will give us the strength to deal with the problems of tomorrow when they arrive. Help us, God, to first of all seek your kingdom. And Lord, may we never arrogantly assume about the future. May we always know that our lives are truly in your hands, and that if it's your will, we will live tomorrow or the year after. If it's your will, we will get to do this or see that. And so may we always acknowledge that you are in control. Bless us with your presence and your love as we face a new year. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.